Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grey City Church.
So this morning, you know, we have been running this team starting from February, Live Out Our Love. I found the Message Bible, and I want you to read it with me, the Message Bible. Something about the Message Bible is more contemporary, more modern. So why don't you read it with me? But for when? But for now. Not tomorrow, not some other day, not the past, but now. Now is the time. But for now, until that completeness. That means the time when we see Jesus and we are complete. So we still have a journey to go. How many realize you have not arrived? You have not arrived. I hope you have, but you have not. You know, so I also have not arrived. Until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us towards that consummation. There are three things to do. I know many of us have a lot of things to do, but there are three things, three spiritual things that we need to do. And what are the three things? Trust daily in God. Hope unswervingly. Love what? Love what? Love extravagantly. And the best of the three is love. So, our team is to live out our love. I'm not talking about selfish love. I'm talking about selfless love. Love that you experience because God's love has been poured into your heart. If the love of God has not poured into your heart, it's very difficult to love beyond. But because God's love is so generously poured upon your heart, now you can love extravagantly. No restrictions, say amen. You can love with the extra mile. The extra mile. Well, it's one of our things that we always say about, you know. And when we do that, we put others first. You know, and you may ask, how do we live out our love? You simply do what Jesus does. He is our perfect example. He is our unchanging example. 2,000 years have passed. Today, we are living in such a modern world with modern technology. Everything is so fast. Yet, Jesus is still the timeless example for all of us. So, the next 5 weeks, you know, talking about today, the pastoral team will be talking about how do we want to live out our love by using our grace value. Do you know that Grace City Church has this value that we hold? This value that we hold, that we want to practice it as a church, not just in the church, but also we want to practice it at home. We want to practice it where God has placed us. This is the value that we hold very close in our heart. As a pastoral team, we hold that value, and we want you to also hold this value. What value do you want to have? Well, we want to live out our love in generosity, relational, active. We want to live our love Christ-like, and we want to live our love in excellence. So, the pastoral team say, okay, if this is what we're going to do to live our love in these five areas, how are we going to teach God's people to do it? So we decided that we will go back to the book of Acts. Acts of the Apostle, the early church, you know, and we want to look at five examples from the early church. These are ordinary disciples. Just like who? Just like you and me. And because they were touched by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I must say that they have very limited knowledge of Jesus Christ. Today, we have so much knowledge, but too little practices. They have very little knowledge of Jesus Christ, but it was fresh revelation of who Jesus is. community, in relationship, in being active, and in Christ-likeness and in excellence. So we are going to look at the example from the Acts of the Apostles. You know, and they live out their love to influence their community for Jesus Christ. And I believe that you and I can also do the same. So this morning, I want to speak about generosity. Let's say the word generosity. It's a big word, a good word, easy said than done. But I believe we can all be generous. So, living out our love in generosity, and I want to use an example. I want to use a woman. A woman that we might not heard much about, but she was very well known to the city and to the community of believers for her generosity. Her name is Dorcas or Tabitha. If you turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to verse 43. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. At Jopan, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her up in the upper room. What a way to live. Just two verses about her. Just two short verses, and she died. And of course, if you look from verse 38 onward, they went to find Peter. Peter, the apostle, was around. They went to find him, and they asked him to come to Joppa. You know, whether he can do something about it, in verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and the garment which Dorcas has made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out, and kneeled down and prayed, and turned to the body. He said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when they had called the saints and widow, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa that many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon the tenant. Lord, we just want to thank you for your words this morning. And I ask you, teach and anoint your servant to teach your word powerfully. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a remarkable woman. A woman that the Bible said that was full of charitable deeds and good work. But her life was short. She died. I look at her life, and I find that from her life, we can answer four questions about charity. The question of what, why, how, and where to live out our love in generosity. Let's look at the first question. The question of what is generosity? It's a big word. Well, generosity is simple goodness. If you are good, you can be generous. Simple goodness. Giving itself without reserve, without string attached, without hidden agenda. That means it's what Jesus said. When you are generous to somebody, you are not looking for what? What can I get back? I just simply do it because Christ lives in me. So this is how generosity is explained. So what is generosity? Well, the dictionary says it's ready to give freely. Freely you receive, freely what? You give. That's the teaching of Jesus. What did Jesus teach us? It is more blessed to receive than to give. No, he said, it's more blessed to what? To give than to receive. So generosity is ready to give freely. But for generosity to take place, you must remove yourself from any smallness. Smallness or pettiness. And where does this smallness and pettiness begin? It starts with where? the mind. You have to remove this pettiness and this smallness of the mind, of the heart, and of the character. I pray that we will see generous people in Grace City Church. That generosity rule this house. That generosity is seen in this house. So if you want to be generous, you must discount yourself. You must remove yourself from any pettiness. We can be very petty people. How many realize that? It's easy to be petty. When you are petty, you always pick on things. Pick, pick, pick. And you always pick on the little thing and the negative thing. If you are generous, when you see someone is naked, you don't ask the question, why are you naked? You what? You quote that person first. If you are generous, when someone is hungry, you don't ask them, show me where you spend your money. You feed them first. Then maybe after that you can help them how to manage their money. So you have to remove yourself. If you want to be generous, you have to remove yourself from any smallness or pettiness that is in the mind. And our mind is the first place to react. How many realize that? Anything we see, the first thing the mind, ding! Warning sign. Be careful, be careful, be careful. So the mind is the first place. Then the mind affects the heart and it affects our character. So why is generosity? Giving your attention, time, ability, money, compassion, you know, and compassion freely to others. And most of the time, when we think of generosity, we always think of money. Well, if I have money, I can be generous. No money, no generosity. But generosity is more than money. Though it is important. This is what Gary Chapman, he wrote this book called Love is a Way of Life. And he said this, those generosity in the context of authentic love, that when you love authentically, you don't love with any string attached, don't love with, you know, hypocrisy, don't love with, what can I get? When you love the way Jesus loved, whether it's in words, in money, in giving time, in giving of yourself, that authentic love is generosity. There's two verses in the Bible. One found in Proverbs chapter 19 verse 6. And this is what Proverbs 19 verse 6. Many seek the favor of a generous man. Generous man. Then in 2 Samuel chapter 8. This is what the Bible says. This is what God does. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. He set them among princes, placing them in the seat of honor. These two words, the generous man and the word prince, it comes from the same Hebrew words. Come from the same Hebrew words for generous. What does it mean? Does it mean that when you are a prince, you can be generous? That means like what Pastor Patrick shared. You know, the princess of Monaco went to see him with own private plane, you know, with his own team, you know, able to give because he's rich. It's the Bible telling us that you have to be rich in order to be generous. No. The Hebrew word for the generous man and prince is the same Hebrew words. It means this, that when you are generous, you are a prince. Hello? That when you are generous, you are a princess. That when God sees your generosity, He sees you as a prince and the princess of God. How do you like that? How do you want to be prince and princess? The Bible says, when you are generous, that's how God sees you. Then we think of the story of Jacob. We all know about Jacob. Jacob is a supplanter. I mean, he's a guy who twice he cheated his brother of his birthright. That's what Jacob is. Is Jacob a generous person? He's not generous. He's a taker. But one thing happened to Jacob. When he wrestled with God, and God said to him, Jacob, from today, I'm changing your name to what? Israel. His name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And God said, Israel, as a prince, you will prevail against God and against men. So Jacob, you know, has been a stingy person, who has been a taker. He encountered God. God said, I'm changing you. I'm calling you a prince now. And as a prince, you're going to prevail. So after his encounter and God changed his name to Israel, a prince of God, how did Jacob prevail against his brother Esau? How did he prevail against him? He did not do it by deception. He did not do it by force. He did it by the generosity of what? Of his heart. He did it with generosity. And he sent wave and wave of gifts, of humility, and of kind words to his brother, to his brother Esau. To Esau, who experienced the generosity of this man who was once a thief, who once who stole from him. What a transformation. Now he's a prince. And Jake, when Esau experienced that, the Bible tells us that Esau wept. Generosity has the capacity, has the ability to remove barriers. Hello? Has the ability to break walls. Generosity has this as a ability, you know. And we need to realize that when we are generous, we reflect God. We reflect Him. Because generosity melts out, remove barriers, build bridges, open doors. The question is this, I have to ask you, since you come to know Jesus Christ, your heart has been changed. Are you a generous soul? The Bible talks about Zacchaeus, the short man who could not see Jesus, who climbed up to see Jesus. Jesus stepped into his life and said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. He went home. He had Jesus at his house. In a short conversation with Jesus, he said this, Jesus, I will give half my wealth to the poor. A man who has never been generous before, a man who is always trying to hold, trying to take. Now he met this Jesus. He said, Jesus, I'll give half of my wealth to the poor. Anyone that I stole, I will pay four times. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, if we are a child of God and we are not generous in our heart, we need to ask ourselves, why? What is generosity? I answer your first question. The second question is, why generosity? Why generosity? The Bible tells us that in Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha. Tabitha was generous because she is a what? A disciple of Jesus Christ. The early church were all called disciples of Jesus Christ, or they call them the follower of the way. Jesus is called the way. It's only in Acts chapter 11 where the people saw the disciple of Jesus Christ and begin to call them what? Christian. So, Is there a difference between being a disciple and being a Christian? There should not be a difference. But today we see there is a great difference. Many one who come to Jesus, who hear this message that Jesus is so wonderful, He forgives your sin, He can bless you, I believe they become a Christian. But are they a disciple of Jesus Christ? A disciple is one who say, Lord, I believe in you. You are my master. Just like in the days of Jesus, every trade will find a disciple. If you are a carpenter, you have a disciple. And what you know, you teach the disciple. And the disciple learns from you, your life. So when you say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, it means that Jesus Christ, you are my master, you are my Lord. You are more than my Savior. You are more than my ticket to heaven. I'm seeing you as my Lord, as my master. Therefore, as a disciple, who you are, I will follow. It means to be a disciple, to follow and imitate and pattern after the master. So if the master say, love, you don't love, you're not a disciple. If the master say, be generous, and you're not generous, you're not a disciple. So the disciple is the one that say, Lord, this is your life. I want to pattern after your life. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, he said, look, he talked to the church, imitate me, follow me, as what? As I follow Jesus Christ. Follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. There is no such thing in our, like it's happening in our modern world today, where big time pastor may say, hey, how I live is my business. No, no, no. Paul is very clear. You follow me as I follow Jesus. And so a disciple is one, you know, who openly learn about the life of Jesus and follow his example. He does not confine his life to Sunday, 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And he does not say to God, he said, God, you have come into my heart. That is wonderful. You know, my heart has many doors, has many rooms. I have only one room for you. And there is a room called Sunday room, religious room, other room. It's not for you to see, Lord. My television room is not for you. My finance room is not for you, God. My friendship room is not for you, God. My leisure time room is not for you, God. Your room, oh God, is religious Sunday room. That's not a disciple. That's not a disciple. Come on. That's not a disciple. But today we find many people compartmentalize their life and say, I'm a Christian, but this is how I live. After that, it does not matter. Let me tell you, it's impossible to say you are a Christian and live differently. So, why was she generous? Because she's a disciple of Jesus Christ. And therefore, doctors realize, well, if I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, then I want to follow the footsteps of Jesus. Why should you be generous? You should be generous because your God is generous. He creates and sustains life freely. Without a feast, He sends the rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. Come on, stand up. Come on, let's stand up. I know when I ask you to stand up, because you breathe better when you stand up. Now take a deep breath. How much did it cost you? How much does this air or breath cost you? Nothing. Please sit down. Nothing. Not even a cent. For the next 24 hours, you will be breathing 28,000 times. Then it's 24 hours. It costs you what? Nothing. Free. This is the generosity of God. You are generous. Why? Because God is generous. God is generous. This is His nature. The Bible calls Him the generous landlord. And it's a parable about the generous landlord that went out to the field and saw some workers. I said, hey, you go and work for me. Then he went out again. He asked them to go and work out. Then at the last hour he went out, he saw some other people work, standing there doing nothing. He said, now you go and work for me. And when the day comes to an end, he called all of them. Of course, those who work longer expect to be paid more, but he paid all of them the same. And of course, those who work longer gets not so happy. And he said this. This generous landlord said, it's my money. If you want to be stingy, it's up to you. But you cannot stop me from being what? Being generous. Today, we are enjoying Christianity because others before us has paid a great price with their life. How many realize that? See, God has bring us into that blessing because of the generosity of others. The generosity of God is seen in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. For though He was rich, and yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. That Jesus Christ give Himself, empty Himself, pour Himself fully, so that you who are empty are filled. You who are in lack are full. You who have needs, have all your needs met by Him. The more you experience and understand the generosity of God, the more and more you're called to follow His example of generosity. Let me ask you this week. Everything you want to say, what you think, and what you want to do, ask yourself this simple question. Do you express the generosity of God? If they do, then you are imitating the example of your Master Jesus Christ. If they don't, you need to intentionally align your life to the example of your Master Jesus Christ. Otherwise, one day the Master might say to you, I never knew you. That will be a sad thing to hear. I never knew you. So I spoke on what is generosity, the why of generosity, and now I want to talk about the how of generosity. The how. Dorcas, her name means full of grace. You look in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. When the Spirit of God falls upon the early church, upon His people, the Spirit of God is not only the Spirit of power, it's so called the Spirit of His grace. And when His grace is poured upon His people, when His grace is poured upon your heart, something happened inside here. The hardness, the pettiness, the smallness, the ugliness will have to go. Say amen to that. And sweetness and beauty and grace will fill your heart. You are the how to generosity is to be a person of what? Grace. Be a person of grace. If you look in the book of Acts, the word grace, individual disciples, mentioned in the book of Acts, Barnabas and Stephen, full of grace. Ananias, God is gracious. And now Dorcas, full of grace. What is God saying to you? God is saying to you that I have poured my grace upon you so that you become a gracious soul. And a gracious soul is a generous soul. That's what God is saying. The grace of God pour upon your heart. Ah, remove some ugliness in here. So, how to be generous? Be a person of grace. We do not know Dorcas' age, her position, much about her life. We don't know whether she is married or single, whether she lived alone or with other people, whether she was rich or poor. But one thing we know about Dorcas, she was full of grace. She was a gracious soul and she was a generous soul. That's important. To God, your wealth, your position, what you have, is not important to Him. Though many around you may be impressed by who you are and what you have, but with God, He is only impressed by the work of His grace upon your heart and the generosity of your life. Full of grace. Be a person of grace. Be more gracious. We can be more gracious. How many of you can say amen to that? We can be more gracious how we treat our wife. We can be more gracious how we treat others. We can be more gracious in terms of our words. Season with what? Grace. We can be more gracious. So, this week, ask the Holy Spirit to grace your heart and mind so that what you say, what you do, and what you think, especially of others and about others, will reflect the grace and the generosity of God in your life. So, how to generosity? Be a person of grace. Turn around and tell somebody, I'm going to be very gracious. Come on, tell somebody that. And if your husband is sitting next to you, say, yes, I accept it. The next thing, not only a person of grace, but engage in good works. We have no record of her writing or her preaching a sermon, but she simply devoted her life to doing good works and works of charity. And who does it benefit? It benefits the needy and the less fortunate. So Dorcas was a person full of good works. That's why the Bible said about her. She had faith, but she has also work. You know, but this work that she does is not her own work. It's the work of grace that is upon her heart. That whatever she do, this is the thing. Without Jesus Christ, all your good, all your work is called dead work. With Jesus Christ, as Ephesians tell us, chapter 2, verse 10, that God has prepared those works for us to do. All those work that we do become good work because of Jesus Christ. He lives in our heart. Dorcas' generosity is seen in her good work. I challenge you. When you hear someone in the church, your brother, your sister is sick in a hospital, not just pray for them. If you can visit them, visit them. If you heard someone who come out from hospital, from the church, who cannot cook, if you can cook a simple meal, cook for them. These are all expression of what? Of good works. And it's important. Because if we extract all these things, then we are not different from the people of the world. The thing that makes us different is that we do good work, not looking for what? Return. Not looking for return. It's an expression of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ living in me. See, when Christ comes into your heart, it changes you, It makes you a different person, a new heart, a new attitude, a new outlook to life. No longer living for yourself, no longer is all about you. Now you follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 10, verse 28 describes Jesus, anointed by the Holy Spirit, went about doing what? Doing good. So, you need to do good work. Say amen. God has prepared them for you. There are four kinds of people in this world. Four kinds. The first kind of people is they get along life doing evil, giving other people a hard time, making other people life miserable. They are a problem and a trouble. Because why are they like this? They are a happy person. Have you ever met an unhappy person? To such a person, they need to get alive. They will reap the fruits of their own doing. So you got one kind of people that go around doing evil. The second kind of people we have is they go along life doing what? Nothing. I don't do good, I don't do bad. So, to such people, they will reap nothing, because if you don't sow, you will not reap. The third kind of people, they live life doing good and evil. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. They want to get even, tick for tack. You know, they want to be the kind of people, if you scratch my back, I scratch your back. If you stab me, I stab you. If you are good to me, I'm good to you. So, they get on life doing both. Well, to such a people, they will reap good and evil because they sow both good and evil. But God wants us, as His children, reflecting His nature, to go on with life doing what? Doing good. Doing good. And that's what we need to do. To do good. You know? And because of you, the world should be a better place. Say amen. That this world become a better place because of us. God has come into our heart. He has lived in us. He has transformed us. So now God is interested with what we do with our life. Because our life, our work, is part of worship to Him. My question, what kind of person will you be this week? What kind of person will you be? I pray that you become a person that is walking in your life doing good, doing good works, reflecting generosity, which is the character of God. How? Use what is in your hand. Dorcas live in Japan. Japan is a fishing village. So sometimes the fisherman goes out to fish and they meet a mishap. Their body get washed to the shore. Their boat get washed to the shore. That's why those who lose their husband became widow, children became fatherless. Yeah, mother lose their son. So she saw all these things happening. She could tell herself, gee, I see all this need. Let me go and tell Henry. Henry, you know, there's such a great need there. Sometimes we are good in telling people about the things we see that God wants us to see so that we can do something. Or she could say, let me pray about it. Let me think about it. No, she saw it and she was moved. That's the thing. If you want to be generous in your heart, you need to God, let God's Holy Spirit move your heart. She saw it and her heart was moved, and was not moved with anger, was not moved with fear. Her heart was moved with compassion. And she said to herself, what can I do? She must have asked God, God, what can I do? And then God asked her, what is in your hand? Lord, just a needle. Just a needle. Just a needle. I mean, to some of us, what is a needle? So insignificant, so little, so small. But the Bible tells us, with just this needle, she sold the clothing. She sold and provide for the fatherless and the widow. Today, sitting among us, we all have more than a needle. Say amen. We all have more than a needle. And I want to thank God for when we hear the needs of the orphanage in Indonesia, we give towards them. When we hear the needs of those like Robin Houston in the Mozambique, where the roof needs to be replaced, we help and we give. Generosity is very important, and it always has to do with what is in your hand. Now, I want to be generous. Henry, can you give me your wallet? No, generosity is not taking from other people to give. It's what is in your hand, whether a lot or little. And that's what she did. She saw that in her hand, what she could use was to sow. So she sowed, and she sowed, and she sowed. You know, every year, you know, our dear sister, Kathy Arrow, she can knit. And she will knit. And then she will sell all those things that she need, and she give it to who? To mission. There are things that we can do to express our generosity. Sometimes we may not be able to give money, but there are other things that we can do. What is in your hand? That's the question. What is in your hand today? That's how you can reflect generosity. What is in your hand? You may say it's not much. 5 loaves and 2 fishes feed 5,000. The rod in Moses' hand delivered Israel. The string in David's hand killed a giant. My last question is the where to generosity. Where should I start? We all know of this old phrase. Charity begins at home. How many of you hear that word? Come on, you heard that word. Charity begins at home. Now, our interpretation is this. If charity begins at home, charity starts with my own children, my own family, you know, and then those who are close to me. Then maybe if there is some left, other people. That is not the interpretation of charity begins at home. Hello? The true interpretation of charity begins at home when it was first written. When it was first written, the true interpretation is this. That charity begins as you, as a parent, teach your children charity. That's how it starts. Not about keeping to yourself. It's that you teaching your children. How many of you realize that children, you have to teach them to share? How many of you realize that? If you are parents, you know. Because they all want to hold, they don't want to share. Come on, share with your brother. No. Try to get something that the children like. Like, sometimes they have some... They open a pack of chips, you ask them, they run away. You know, so what does it mean? Charity begins at home. The true meaning is that as a parent, you teach your children to be generous so that they will also be what? Generous. And how do you as a parent teach yourself, your children to be generous? By you yourself being what? I mean generous. Because generosity begets generosity. So Dorcas, you know, she started her generosity with a household of faith. What was before her? The needs that confront her every day and night. The needy of the community. She started her generosity there. Where to generosity? Where has God placed you? in this house? Be generous. Where has God placed you? In your workplace? Be generous. Where has God placed you? With friends? Be generous. Because God has strategically placed you in a place so that you can shine your light. The Bible says, shine your light. Do good works. So that what? They may glorify your Father who is in heaven. What a way. What a way. You know, she lived her life in generosity. She left a legacy behind. So when she died, because her life had touched so many people, when she died, they all cried. They did not say, good riddance, one gone. This troublemaker, this problem gone. No, they cried for her because she touched her community. And they say to Peter, look what she done. Look at the cloth. Look at what she sold. Good work is dead now. Charity is dead. Generosity is finished. The whole city was devastated. What a way to live. What a way to live your life. That you leave a legacy because you have been generous. That people remember your generosity. To them, Dorcas was a generous disciple, full of good works and armed deeds, because Christ lived in her and through her. The what? The why? The how? And the where? The answer is in here. I encourage you, I challenge you, live out your love generously. Three places, three W's. How you live generously, three W's. First W is called words. Words. Be generous with your words. And parents, be generous with your words to your children. If you are not lifting up your children, if you are condemning your children, you are scolding them, you are pulling them down, look, they're going to get on life, grow up with so poor self-esteem. Be generous with your words. Be generous with your words with one another. I'm not asking you to fetter each other. I'm telling you, praise people when they need to be praised. Be generous with your praises to one another. Be generous with your encouragement with one another. Words. The second appeal, be generous with your work. What does God want you to do with your hand? What work can you do? Be generous about it. Third appeal. You know what's the third appeal? Well, it's different for a lady. But for a man, be generous with your what? With your wallet. Be generous with your wallet. Don't become like the person who was going for water baptism. Went into the pool and the pastor asked him, you're getting baptized? He said, yes. You're following Jesus Christ? Yes. You're believing in Jesus Christ? Yes. You will surrender all? Yes. And then he said, pastor, before you baptize me, I'd like to take out my wallet. You must not go into the water. Come, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Generosity reflects the heart of God. Live out our love in generosity. I tell you, the what, the why, the how, and the where. I ask you, start from today. Start from your house. Start from Grace City Church. Start from your workplace. Start from the group of people that come across your pathway. People will remember your generosity. And so this morning, I want you to know God is a generous God. He wants you to experience His generosity so that you can be generous with the generosity you yourself have experienced from Him. God never asks you to do something out of your emptiness. He always asks you to do something out of His fullness in you. I encourage you this morning, as you hear the word of God, live out your love in generosity. How many of you will say, God, from today forth, I set my heart to be a generous soul. For when I am a generous soul, I'm a prince before you. I'm a princess before you, God. That's how God sees us. God, let me see and appreciate what you put in my hand so that I can use what is in my hand to touch others for you.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.